Chapter 11. Madame Defarge's Revenge. Lucy held out her arms to her husband.
Let me kiss him. One last time.
Most of the citizens had gone out into the streets to shout how they hated the prisoners. But Barsad was still there.
Let her kiss her husband, he said. It's just for a minute.
Lucy went over to her husband, and he took her in his arms. Dr. Manette followed his daughter and fell on his knees before them. But Darnay pulled him to his feet, saying,
No, no. Now we know how much you suffered, especially when you knew whose son I was. But you kept your feelings secret, because of your love for Lucy. We thank you, with all our hearts, for what you did. I tried so hard to do what my mother had wished, but I never found that poor girl. And how could that terrible story ever have a happy ending? He turned to his wife. My dearest love, we shall meet again in the place where there are no worries. God be with you both. As Darnay was taken away, Lucy fell to the floor unconscious. Sidney Carton came quickly forward to help Mr. Lorry and Dr. Manette. He carried Lucy to her coach, and she was taken home. Then he carried her into the house, where her daughter and Miss Pross waited, tears falling from their eyes. "Before I go," said Sidney Carton, "may I kiss her?" He touched Lucy's face lightly with his lips, whispered a few words, and went into the next room.
"You are still very popular with the citizens, Doctor. You must try again to talk to the judges."
"I'll do everything I can. Everything," Dr. Manette said.
Mr. Lorry went with Carton to the door.
"I have no hope," whispered Mr. Lorry sadly.
"Nor have I," replied Carton. "After today, no judge in Paris would even try to save him. The people would be too angry. I will return here later to see if there is any news. But there is no real hope."
He left the house and began to walk quickly towards Saint-Antoine. His face was calm and serious. He looked like a man who had decided to do something.
"I must show myself to the people here," he thought. "They should know that there is a man like me in the city."
In Defarge's wine shop, the only customer was Jacques Three, who had been on the tribunal that had decided Darnay should die. When Carton sat down and asked for a glass of wine, Madame Defarge looked at him carelessly at first, then much more carefully. She went back to her husband and Jacques Three, who were talking.
"He is very much like Evrémonde," she said softly.
Defarge himself looked at Carton and said,
"Yes, but only a little."
And the three continued their conversation. Carton listened carefully while pretending to read a newspaper.
"Madame is right," said Jacques Three. "Why should we stop at Evrémonde?"
"We must stop somewhere," said Defarge.
"Not until they are all dead. Every one of that family," said his wife.
"You're right. But think how much the doctor has suffered. Perhaps he has suffered enough."
"Listen," said Madame Defarge coldly. "Don't forget that I was that younger sister. And it was my family that suffered so much from the Evrémonde brothers. It was my sister who died, and my sister's husband, and my father. It was my brother who was killed. Tell others to stop. Don't tell me.
Carton paid for his wine and went out quickly on his way. He went back to Dr. Manette's house, where more bad news was waiting for him. The doctor's mind had returned to the past once again. He did not recognize his friends, and wanted only to find his old table and to make shoes.
"Listen to me carefully," Carton said to Mr. Lorry. "I believe that Lucy, her daughter, and perhaps even her father, are in great danger. I heard Madame Defarge talking about them tonight. They must leave Paris tomorrow. They have the necessary papers, and so do you. Here are mine. Take them, and keep them safe with your own. You must leave by coach at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Keep a place for me in the coach, and don't leave without me. Promise that you will do exactly what I have said. Many lives will depend on it."
"I promise," said Mr. Lorry.